communion service today. I'm going to read three verses of Scripture from this great book of Romans. It's so filled with all the virtues of the blood, as is the entire Bible, but particularly here in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, 24 through 26. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Amen. He's just and He is a justifier of him or them that believe in Jesus Christ. And the reason that He can still be just and justify those that trust in Christ is because of what Jesus did through His blood sacrifice on the cross. God doesn't sweep sin under the carpet. He can't just cancel it because Jesus died. There had to be a transferring of sin. Not just a forgiveness of sin, but an actual transferring. That sin had to go somewhere, and that sin had to be judged upon someone. God could not, in His holiness, just let it go. God didn't just wipe your sin away. Your sin didn't just go away when Jesus died on the cross and you accepted Him as your Savior. God didn't just write a big X over it and say, debt canceled, even though it has been canceled. There was an exchange. I want to talk to you today about the great exchange. And I want you to fall more deeply in love with Jesus than you ever thought that you could love Him for what He's done for you. And if you haven't received that great exchange, I want you to understand what it's all about. Your sin was not just forgiven. Jesus dies, God forgives you, that's it. No, your sin was transferred to Christ. And God judged your sin in Him and my sin in Him so that He could justify you. Justification is that great result of what happened to your sin because of what Jesus did at the cross. It's a forensic term. There's a lot of court. There's a whole channel dedicated to forensic justice, and it's court TV. And there's a lot of judge duties and judge this and judge that where judgments are made. This word justification is for a courtroom. It's forensic. Has nothing to do with how you feel after you receive Jesus. Has everything to do with how God looks at you from that point forward. Can you say amen? This is judicial stuff. I'm so glad to know that because of the great exchange, the judge of the universe has pronounced me not guilty. Hallelujah, and does not ascribe sin and its guilt to me and its shame to me anymore. But that sin has been judged in somebody else. That's the great exchange. Let me tell you what justification is. Justification is a legal transaction in which the guilt of our sins is put to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His righteousness is put to our account. I want to read that to you again. The guilt of our sins is put to the account of Jesus Christ. And His righteousness is put to our account. It's like you right now trading bank accounts with Bill Gates. If you don't know who Bill Gates is, he started Microsoft. His net worth now is $58 billion. Everybody say $58 billion. You did it. You actually stuttered. I didn't know if you would do it. I'm just talking in the material sense, nothing close to the preciousness of the blood of Jesus, but just in the material sense, because, you know, there's people not getting excited over what the blood of Jesus has done, but if your bank account was right now transferred to, if that exchange took place this morning, your bank account, and you may owe them for all I know, amen. How many know you write a couple of bad checks, you'll end up owing the bank. Because they charge you for the check, plus it wasn't there to begin with. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, Bill Gates, what would happen this morning if he said, you know something, I'm tired of living in opulence. I have found no peace or happiness there. And you look like, Sister Venerable, you look like a lady that's found it. You look like you have arrived. And I'd like to trade bank accounts with you and see if that may be my problem. I just have too much, and I've lost my appreciation for the little things in life. So today, you're going to get Bill Gates, amen, $58 billion, and he's going to get our... Oh, don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. I mean, hallelujah. I'll tell you one good thing, amen, about being where we are in life. See, God blesses us with an empty meal barrel blessing. We pour out. It's never been full since we've been Christian. It's never been brim topped off. And amen. But every time we dip out, he dips in. And the difference is he's got a bigger dipper. Can you say amen? Well, no, not if money is what it takes to be happy. Amen. But what would happen if your bank account changed with Bill Gates right now, if you made that exchange? Would it affect your attitude this morning? Do you think if it happened in this service, if the phone rung or someone come to the door, that you might go out with a little bit of a spring in your step on the way to the mall? Or to Best Buy or to the car dealership? Where would you go for? Some of you would go straight to the car dealership. Can you say amen? Probably be the first. Yeah, and how about New Tampa? How about in one of those gated communities? How about a house in New Tampa? A brand new automobile of your choice? Can you say amen? You're saying yeah. Well, what I'm telling you is you know your attitude would change because you would see, amen, what a blessing it is to be able to do it. And not only would your attitude change about what you've received, but about the benefactor that gave it to you. Because someone was willing to give up all of that wealth just so that you could be rich. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Bill Gates. He's not about to change bank accounts with you. Can you say amen? He's done some philanthropic things. Amen. He's given to some charities, but it hasn't hurt him to do that at all. When you got $58 billion, a mere million is a drop in the proverbial bucket. Can you say amen? But what I'm saying to you, in our physical, material, emotional life, if someone did that for us, someone that rich was willing to not just give us, but you see, the only way it can work is you've got to change it with him. He's got to become poor. He can't stay rich if he's going, amen, to make you rich. He has to change bank account. See, I want you to understand the blood of Jesus was not just shed so God could just forgive your sin. It's so Christ could take your sin upon himself. We saw a movie called The Sin Eater about an old superstitious thing, but it ended up being a similitude to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the only one. And back in the mountains of Kentucky and Virginia, there was a time that they designated a person that would come when people are dying and eat their sin or take their sin upon themselves, and they had to live an ostracized from the rest of the community life, and they were called literally. This is back in folklore, but it actually happened. There were people considered to be a sin eater. No one can take your sin from you and take it upon themselves except Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But if there ever was a true sin eater, it was Jesus. He takes our sin upon himself so that he can give us his righteousness. Amen. You're saved today, not just because God canceled your sin, but because he that knew no sin was made to be sin, that we who were sinners might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's the great exchange. He became poor. And we think of this in the material. This is not about material. This is about something so far beyond material. Everything material is going to pass away, but all of this spiritual, eternal stuff is ours forever. Can you say amen? He became poor that we might become what? Rich. He was stripped of all of his heavenly rights and privileges on that cross as he became sin so we could become righteous. Poor that we might become rich. The only way we can have heaven as our home is if Jesus took our punishment on the tree. He had to become sin. He that knew no sin. The innocent dying for the guilty. The great exchange. Say it with me, the great exchange. We exchange our guilt for his innocence. Someone has called this the great exchange. As a result, we have a new standing or legal status before God. And on the basis of Christ's work alone, we are declared righteous. The righteousness of Christ can only be received by faith. There's no possibility that you can earn it or merit it in any way. It's called a gift in the New Testament. Amen. Through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. The gift. You don't put a price tag on a gift or you disqualify it as a gift. Amen. It's like so many people on television, you know, for a gift of $25, we'll send you this. Or it's in reverse. For $25, we'll send you this gift. And if it costs me $25, I got news for you. It's not a gift. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Can you say amen? Come on, it's not a gift. I understand if you want to give to a ministry, amen, that's fine. But let's just go ahead and be open about it, amen. If you'll send $25, this will compensate you in some way by this that we'll send you. But it is not a gift if it costs $25. Everybody say, gifts don't cost money. Amen. Gifts are something that are free. No strings attached. Oh, don't ever give me anything if you don't want me to have it. Or you want to tell me what to do with it after I get it. Amen. If you give me $1,000 and I want to buy $1,000 worth of Tootsie Roll Pops from Sam's Club so I never run out. Amen. And you say, I didn't give you that money to go blow it. Oh, yo, if it's my money, I can blow it if I choose to. May not be right, may not suit you, but if it's mine, it's. Come on, church, I don't tell you what to do with your money. Hello? But that's a whole other story. Honesty. Hallelujah. Yes, she does. She's the manager in our home. She said, we really don't need that. I say, oh, yes, I do. She said, no, we don't. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, on the other hand, if God just canceled sin, people wouldn't love him like the early church loved him. If it was just something, you know, just a legal transaction, Jesus dies, it's done. No, they saw this for what it is. They understood, amen, their benefactor. They understood the benevolence and the grace of God that Jesus would not just die for us, but he would become sin for us. He would become a curse for us. And see, God wants you and I to live the exchange life. The great exchange has already taken place. He wants you to start living a different life, a victorious life, an overcoming life, a jubilant life, a joyous life. Hallelujah. Amen. He died so you could be free, not bound up and beat down and battered and beleaguered. Hallelujah. Amen. As we read from Romans 3:25, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Atonement means a bringing together of those who were estranged. You know, the strength of the believer is because we have been brought to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. God is holy. There's no way he can be friends with everything in us that is the enemy of God. The Bible said there's enmity between us and God. And the wrath of God, the justifiable anger of a holy God rests upon us if we don't know Christ as our Savior. This exchange has to be made to bring an atonement. An atonement means bringing people together, reconciling, setting at one. Some people call it the at-one-ment, the atonement. Can you say amen? We're brought to God. You know what the Bible said in Isaiah 40 and 31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know where the Christian's strength is? You know where it really is? You know what wait means? It means in the Hebrew tongue to bind together by twisting. Everybody say bind together by twisting. And you know what the Bible said about twisting three cords? What happens to the tensile strength of those of that now? Amen. When one hangs by itself, you might be able to break it, but you bind it with another one, and you bind it with another one. Now you've got three, and a three-stranded cord, the Scripture said, is not easily broken. Amen. See, God takes your weakness, your inability to overcome, all of your idiosyncrasies, your flaky sins, your habits, all the things about you that spell defeat with a capital D, amen, and he binds it in his love, amen, around the righteousness of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, amen, the exaltation of Jesus, the obedience of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, and it's like a little bitty silk strand wrapping it around a steel cord. You don't have to be strong anymore when you're wrapped up, tangled up, tied up in Jesus. Can you say amen? There used to be a song, I wish I had it, I'd play it today. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Everybody say wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. See, if you were apart from him, if the atonement hadn't taken place, it'd just be you on your own trying to live an overcoming life. But you have been wrapped up in Jesus, twined together and made one. Hallelujah. You know how Jesus talked about it? You want to know the triple standard cord? It's God, Jesus, and you. Everybody say, God, Jesus, and me. John 17, you know what Jesus prayed in John 17? He said, Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me. Now we've got a double-stranded cord, right? Amen. How I'm in you and you're in me and we are one in one another. He said, I want them to be in us. Everybody say, there's the other strand. Everybody say, there's dinner. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. It's the only way she's going to overcome. It's the only way she's going to make it to heaven. Amen. There's Dale, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Amen. Untangle her from Jesus, and Dale is a failure. Dale is a sinner, bound by sin and bound to go back into sin. Amen. But Dale isn't standing as a Christian on her own. She's wrapped up, tied up, tangled all up in Jesus. Because Jesus prayed, amen, for his disciples, said, Father, you know how I'm in you and you're in me? I want them to be in us like you're in me and I'm in you. I want them to be one in us like what? Like I'm in you and you're in me. I want them to be in us. Now it's you're in me, I'm in you, they're in us. Everybody say there's three strands to this cord. Not only is it not easily broken, it cannot be broken. Can you say amen? You'd have to defeat God and defeat Jesus before he could get to us. And that's not going to happen. Can you say amen? That battle has already taken place. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning. Jesus Christ, they that wait upon the Lord, they that are in standing with him, they that are one with him, hallelujah. Mount up. With wings as eagles. Why? Because this little silky thread is wrapped around a mighty steel rope. Praise God. Amen. My strength is being wrapped around him and involved with him. Amen. So we exchange our weakness for what? His strength. That's why Paul said, I, little weak person that I am, can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's the strength of my life. The Old Testament writer said, who shall I fear? Can you say amen? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Amen? Hallelujah. You understand waiting upon the Lord better? It's not just patience, taking a number and sitting back. Amen. It's being involved in him and him being involved in your life. Amen. He was involved in the national life of Israel. Can you say amen? And when that little weak nation was wrapped up with him, praise God, there was no nation on the planet that could hold them. No army could defeat them. Can you say amen? Their strength was the Lord. Amen. He will not only get involved with a nation in covenant, in a covenant relationship, he'll get involved with you, he'll get involved with me in a covenant relationship. I'm still standing today, not because I'm a great one, but because I am wrapped up and tangled up and tied up in the great one. Can you say amen? I'm not a very good guy. Amen. I have the tendency. As in fact, I'm going to let you in on a secret that Paul shared with people of his generation. Amen. He wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He said, guess what, church? In my flesh, there is no good thing. He said, but here's where my strength comes from. He said, I'm dead, but yet I'm alive. And yet it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Can you say amen? Incredible truth. So many people living as victims instead of victors. God wants to change that. You're not a victim today. An exchange has taken place. Your weakness has been exchanged for His strength. He became sick, literally, in sin, that we might be healed and made whole. See, God is holy, perfect, and we are not. I'd like a good amen to that. Amen. The Bible teaches that God hates sin. So the fact that we're sinners who willfully sin in thought, word, and deed, even in our inaction, sins of omission, puts us in opposition to God's holy nature. Our sin separates us from Him. No wonder we don't see miracles. We're in the middle of a radio teaching about the restoration of the supernatural because of grace. Because of God's grace, because God's grace doesn't leave you in the same condition. It brings mighty changes supernaturally. It did to national Israel in the Old Testament. It did to the saints in the New Testament. And it will to anyone who dares to receive it in the 21st century. So our sin makes us God's enemy. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, my hand is not short that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear your prayer for deliverance. I have the might and I have the capacity and the know-how to set you free. But your sin has separated between you and your God. R.C. Sproul writes, the natural enemy of the sinner is one who is holy. And not only holy, but powerful. And not only powerful, but just. And not only just, but omniscient. And not only omniscient, all-knowing, knowing everything about us, but immutably so, without any controversy. God knows everything about us. He knows why I'm preaching this morning. He knows if I want to hear myself speak, if I want a hand clap, if I want an offering, or whether I really love Him and want to see people's lives changed. God knows that right now while I'm standing. You don't know that. Sometimes I may miss something in my heart, but God knows it all. The wonderful thing is He loves us, and whatever's wrong, He wants to put right. It's Ephesians 3, chapter 2, rather, verse 13 and 14. It says, we who were once separated from God, we who were once far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, brought down the middle wall of partition, made us one. Can you say amen? Romans 5:10 puts it this way. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. Hebrews 10:14 says, with one sacrifice, He made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Can you say amen? With one sacrifice, He made you presentable to God. Oh, you didn't hear me. With one sacrifice on the cross, He made you presentable to God. The just suffered for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? See, the death of Jesus did away with the cause of God's enmity toward us. By taking away our sins. God's always loved us and still does. For God so what? Loved the world in its fallen, sinful condition. That He did what? Well, God's always loved us then, hasn't He? He didn't just start loving you when you became a Christian. In fact, the Bible said He commends His love to us and while we were in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Honey, if He loved you while you were a sinner, now that you're a struggling saint, do you think He don't love you? Because you have struggles in your life or failures in your... Yes, He loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, He loves you today. And that love can be transforming to your life. So many people give up and quit because they think God quit loving them because of a failure, a fault, or a stumbling. No, God loves you today. Can you say amen? He didn't start loving you when you started trying to live right. He started loving you while you were yet in your sins. And He loved you to the greatest degree that love could ever be expressed because while you were yet in your sins, Christ died for the ungodly. Can you say amen? And greater love than this hath no man than a man would lay down his life for another. Or for his friends. Amen? God has always loved us and still does, but His wrath which is basically a fixed, permanent attitude against evil. God can't look over sin. He's holy. He doesn't cease being holy because He loves you. God's wrath has been turned away because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Our guilt has been exchanged for His innocence, His righteousness. Incredible truth from the Scripture. I don't know what you know about Bible prophecy, a lot of controversy, and it's getting worse and worse as time goes on, looking for new insights into what's going to happen in the future. But I know one thing about the Christian community in the future. No matter what happens, God has not appointed you to wrath. Can you say amen? But to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. So anything in that future that represents His wrath against sin, amen, you're exempted from that. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. How was it in the days of Noah? A judgment came, but where were the righteous when the judgment came? They were in an ark of safety, praise God, and the waters of judgment did not touch them. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. What happened when fire rained on Sodom and Gomorrah? Amen. An angel took Lot and those that would go with him out of the city and literally told him while he hesitated in the valley, amen, you're too close to the judgment that's coming. Some of the flames may harm you. Get up out of this valley. Make up your mind because I can do nothing until you're out of harm's way. Somebody give God praise in this room. Hallelujah. He took the wrath. I like what Max Lucado said again. Ponder the achievement of God. He doesn't condone our sin, nor does He compromise His standard. He doesn't ignore our rebellion, nor does He relax His demand. Rather than dismiss our sin, He assumes our sin and incredibly sentences Himself. God's holiness is honored. Our sin is punished, and we are redeemed. God is still God. The wages of sin is still death. And we are made perfect in His great mercy. God does what we cannot do so we can be what we cannot dare to dream. And that is perfect in His sight. Who knows everything about you, including your failures. Now to Him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. You can't present yourself to God that way. The one with the nail-scarred hands has to present you that way. It was said one of the great preachers of old had an angelic appearance. And this person that appeared to him claimed to be Jesus. And as he got closer to this manifestation, the spiritual manifestation, amen, as he got closer, as this being spoke to him things that he didn't write ring true with him, and yet he could not deny this apparition, this seemingly holy person standing before him claiming to be Jesus. And as he got closer, he looked him up and down, and he said this. He said, "Where are the nail prints?" And immediately the apparition was gone. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Amen. Jesus still has the nail prints in His hand. He will have the only body in heaven that bears any scars from the past or from the earthly existence. Can you say amen? People horribly scarred and burned are going to be perfect in heaven. Amen. Except one person is going to be still scarred and marred. Amen. There will not be 10 million years from now. We'll be enjoying the splendor of heaven, and we will still see the scars in the hands of Jesus and on the body of Jesus, and we'll give Him glory as if He died yesterday and we just arrived home every day of eternity. Oh, you didn't hear me. Oh, yes, we will. It won't get old hat like so many church services. Can you say amen? So many preachers got over it themselves, and they preach all of this in monotone. They talk like a teacher that's just had to go to a course they really didn't want to go to and come back and try to get it through the boneheaded class. And they know half of them are not listening, so they just read it and close the book and leave. Can you say amen? A lot of pastors got that attitude. Well, number one, I don't have a boneheaded class. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, we got people here with receptive hearts. Amen. I want to tell you, I'm living my life today as if I got saved yesterday and Jesus was coming in the morning. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. This is the glory of the cross. This is the story of the gospel. This is the blessed assurance of the believer. We've exchanged our guilt, our sin debt, for His innocence. It was my sin that God judged in Jesus on the cross. The only way I could be forgiven is if my sin was judged in Him. He became poor in that sense that I might become rich. How dare we take something as wonderful as this and equate it with money? That's not the poverty we're talking about. He was spiritually bankrupted that I might be spiritually blessed. We used to sing, "I bought a debt I couldn't pay." It was growing every day. Jesus paid it all for me. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Listen to the exchange in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, that you be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the exchange. You can't have His righteousness unless He takes your sin. You can't be forgiven unless He takes your guilt. Your sin has to be judged. God can't look over it. He's holy. How can He be just and a justifier of them that trust in Christ? Because He judges our sin in Him. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was on Him. God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The next verse says, all we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Old Testament sacrificial system, Jesus in the New Testament is called Lamb of God. They didn't just hand the lamb over to the priest. They laid their hands on the head of the lamb. As an act of saying, I'm the sinner, this is the innocent. My sins right now, in order for the blood of this innocent to atone for my sin, my sin's going to have to be transferred to this innocent lamb. Amen? You can't just have forgiveness because Jesus died. He has to take your sin. He's the sin eater. We're the beneficiary of His sacrifice. The judgment of God, the wrath of God. It wasn't just Rome and Pilate. God's wrath fell on Him. Men are not innocent from His blood, but God judged Him. God was in Christ. On that tree, the Scripture said, reconciling the world to Himself. God, the Holy One of Israel, taking my sin and the punishment for it. That ought to wake up the sleepy-eyed church in America that's heard the message of salvation a million times and got over it. Yeah. We used to say, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. Honey, if you're saved and you know it, shout. You should be a hallelujah from head to foot. Amen. Somebody say a hallelujah from head to foot. Hallelujah. You ought to get up with a hallelujah. My God has become sin for me. Christ is the innocent one, has taken all of my guilt. If that don't make your heart burst with love, then you need revival. You're dead. Preachers are dead. They preach this in monotone. Communion is a quick fix. It's just incorporated into the announcement. You get it on, get it over. I've been to communion services. I thought, what a, we're not even talking about what the blood of Jesus has done here today. It's time to have it. Let's get it over with, because we've got to quit within a gnat's eyebrow of 12. Because the people's minds will be wondering. Amen? We wonder why we don't have revival in America. Amen. We don't come to church excited about this great exchange. We come thinking about what little minuscule problems we may have. The great God of the universe has took our sins. And here we are talking about our minuscule. Listen, in light of what God's done for you, nothing that's happening to you should transcend the joy in your heart for what He's done for you. Amen. How many know you've got a God that wants to answer prayer? You've got a God that wants your faith to rise up. You've got a God that wants you to begin to live the exchange life. Can you say amen? How do you come to the throne of grace? Oh, Lord, I don't know why you don't listen to me. I've been praying. Everybody else is getting blessed. They got a jet airplane. I just got an old Ford. Can you say amen? No. Let us come how before the throne of grace? How can you come boldly into the presence of a holy God like that? Because you've made the great exchange and you're now living the exchange life. Can you say amen? Let us come how boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of need. The God that you need an answer from is the God that loves you enough to die on the cross for you. Amen. Couldn't anybody get excited about this again? You want to be a soul winner? Get excited about your salvation. Don't just quote scripture from your poor old bad self. Amen. Nobody wants to listen from someone not even enthused about it, doing some duty for God. They want to see somebody turned on to Jesus. I'm 60 years old. When I go to work with the joy of the Lord. Amen. They said, new guy came the other day, said, we call him Rev. Said, number one, because he's a reverend. And number two, because he's revved up all the time. I like that. I want to be known as someone that's not only a reverend, but I'm revved up. Someone, Vance Havner, said, not only has the salt lost its savor, but the pepper has lost its pep. We need the joy of the Lord back. We need to be dancing, shouting, singing, effervescent, hallelujah, Christians. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. People need to look at the church and see people who have made the great exchange and are living the exchange life. Can you say amen? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? And yet, he did. Glory to God. That deserves more than a little nod on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? Here's the exchange. He takes our sin, our guilt, our shame. We receive His sinless standing before God. Sin's power over us is broken by His sacrifice. We'll read this. We'll receive communion. There's more to this, but I can never do it all today. Don't even want to try. It was May 21st, 1946. I was born in 47. The place was Los Alamos. A young and daring scientist was carrying out a necessary experiment, preparation for the atomic test to be conducted in the waters of the South Pacific, little island called Bikini. He had successfully performed such an experiment many times before in his effort to determine the amount of U-235 necessary for a chain reaction. Scientists call it the critical mass. He would push two hemispheres of uranium together. Then just as the mass became critical, he would push them apart with his screwdriver. Incredible. I mean, you know, you just don't do that anymore. Just the early days of atomic energy development. Then just as the mass became critical, he would push them apart with his screwdriver, thus instantly stopping the chain reaction. But that day, just as the material became critical, the screwdriver slipped. The hemispheres of uranium came too close together. Instantly, the room was filled with a dazzling bluish haze. Young Lewis Slotin, instead of ducking and thereby possibly saving himself, tore the two hemispheres apart with his hands and interrupted the chain reaction. By this instance, self-forgetting, daring, he saved the lives of seven other persons in the room. As he waited for the car to take him to the hospital, he quietly said to his companion, "You'll come through this all right, but I haven't the faintest chance myself." was all too true. 9 days later, he died in agony from the radiation that came into him. Over 2,000 years ago, the Son of the Living God walked directly into man's sin-concentrated radiation, allowed himself to be touched by its curse, and let it take his life. By that act, he broke the chain reaction. He broke the power of sin. You know what Romans 8 says? Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. How many are glad for the great exchange this morning? That's what we're getting ready to celebrate here in Holy Communion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our sins, yours and mine, have been placed on Jesus. God, who punishes sin, releases His rightful wrath on your mistakes. Jesus receives the blow. Since Christ is between you and God and you don't, the sin is punished, but you are safe. But you're only safe in the shadow of His cross. Can you say amen? I tried to find this song because I found the lyrics and I couldn't find the tune. But I love the lyrics. The name of the song is His Robes for Mine. And it says, His robes for mine, O wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's rage. Draped in His righteousness, I am justified. In Christ I live, for in my place He died. His robes for mine, my God, how can it be? Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father is pleased. The Bible said it pleased God to bruise Him, not out of some sick desire to inflict pain. He loved His Son, but so He could forgive us. Are you listening to me? Christ drank the dregs of God's just wrath on sin. God is appeased. Propitiation is won. His robes for mine, how terrible the cost. Jesus forsaken. God is estranged from God. He, as though I was banished, left alone. I, as though He, am cherished and welcomed home. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ, God's beloved, judged as though His foe. Smitten by God and spit upon by men. Free my salvation, yet not free for Him. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand with righteous works not mine, saved by the Lord's vicarious death and life. Lastly, His robes for mine, the suffering is done. Sin's dreadful wage was paid by God's just Son. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all shall be for Christ alone. Somebody say, His robes for mine. What is it that transcends that great exchange in your life that you can't rise up and start living the exchange life? What is it in your thought processes that is transcendent of the cross and the blood and the love? Why does we have to be accepted of society? Why do we have to have our brothers and sisters applaud us? Why can't we rise above this need for some human being to tell us we're okay when God has embraced us? I told you if Bill Gates changed accounts with you, it would change your attitude. You'd leave this room different than when you walked in here. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Yes, you would. I dare say some of you would show some emotion. Amen. And I dare say it would be the good kind. If there were tears, there would be tears of joy. Amen. I believe some of you would want to get on the phone and tell some close friends and relatives about what has happened to you, like you did when you first got saved, when you were excited about this great exchange. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, your witness, that's what made it effective, because you were excited. You were living the exchange life. You appreciated Jesus and you loved him and you couldn't wait to get in his house. You couldn't wait to praise him. Hallelujah. You couldn't wait to hear his word. You got up every morning with a good Lord, good morning, Lord, instead of a good Lord morning attitude. Didn't you? Amen. It didn't matter about what you had or didn't have materially. You had this peace, this joy, this newfound faith within your heart. You felt like you could run through a troop and jump over a wall every single day. Amen. It energized you. This gospel actually energized your body. You wanted to go do mission. You said, well, I was younger then. It's not just a matter of young. I have seen people in their 80s over in the mission field that walked everywhere we walked, did everything that we did, and kept on singing his praise. When you start thinking about you instead of this great exchange and your problems, you lose all of that. It's all out the window. It's all about you, Mikey. It's not about him, what he's done at the cross. No, that's not the song we sing, is it? It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's about you. We need to get back to the gospel that's about him. Can you say amen? And exalt him again so that people can come and make this great exchange. And after they make the great exchange, start living their life. Hallelujah. I live my life in confidence because I know I have a standing with God. Hallelujah. I've made the great exchange. He took my old filthy garments and I got his righteous robe, and I can come before the throne of God giving him praise, humbly thanking him for what he's done, but boldly crying out unto him when I have a need. And I have no doubt that he'll hear me because he sees me in the righteous robe of his son. Amen. I have that. I'm going to live the exchange life. Praise God. I'm not going to sing the blues today. I have nothing to be blue about. I'm highly optimistic. I'm like the optimist that fell off the World Trade Center's gone. I fell off the Empire State Building. That's a pretty big building still, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Fell off the Empire State Building while looking over the edge, and halfway down was heard to say as he passed an office window, "So far, so good." Amen. Listen, when God is in control, it's going to be okay. When God has a plan, hallelujah, he'll make everything work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Have you made the great exchange? I want to ask you. Are you ready to start living like it? The exchange life. Amen. 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 How many know that when that exchange life comes, there's praise and worship just bubbling out of you? You're looking for opportunities to give him glory, honor, and praise. No one has to shame you. No one has to pull you into it. You want to praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many people in here need any sin at all forgiven? Aren't you glad for the cross today? Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? How many need a new beginning? How many need to be more, to be different than the same old, same old? Can you say amen? You've made the great exchange. Hallelujah. Embrace it and start living the exchange life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning in Holy Communion, I'm going to do something that represents the great exchange. I'm going to take his blood and body for my forgiveness. He's going to take my sin and my punishment. Hallelujah. And I am not going to hang my head tomorrow, Sean, because somebody richer than Bill Gates. Bill Gates is going to die, and all of that is going to pass away. Amen. But what I have, amen, will never pass away. And when I die, that's when it pays its highest dividends. That's when time moves. I move from time to eternity. Amen. From aging to agelessness. To immortality. Everybody say immortality. Bill Gates can't buy what you've got. The Bible said God has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He showed you how to live forever. Everybody said live forever. Live forever. Glory. Bill Gates is not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever here, but you're going to live forever there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to have immortality? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Won't it be wonderful there? Will you stand to your feet? Will you please serve us someone Holy Communion this morning? Are you ready to make that great exchange? You ready to get rid of the guilty stuff? Amen. Let's begin by confessing our sin. How many will pray this prayer with me? Psalm 51 is part of where these scriptures are going to come from. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit in me. Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Then transgressors will learn your way, and sinners will be converted unto you. See, when you live the exchange life, other people's lives are going to be affected by it. Amen? Hallelujah.